So what you gonna do, brother? We about to run wild with a style like no other. So somebody call Brodus Clay mother and tell her Richard runs on the men like Ed Lover. And Doc Dre, what Scott say, what they hang on every word like it's something that the Rock say. No JR, but they talking wrestling. We bring the noise with the boys, so we Dalton Castlin. So masculine, oozing machismo, mutton chop shop, Gran Turismo. No free throws, snout hoops and heels. It's D-Bron's retirement, give you the super feels. Straight shoot, it's real. Drop a pipe bomb, get rid of the bull like the Rock's right arm. So stay calm, tranquilo, I'll go Naito and give him Destino. And we know that you chumps ain't ready for the heartbreak runs and the Cuban Jannetty. They drop it heavy, tag team it like Teddy. Long go strong with the heat like Eddie. So steady like when Taker walked the tightrope. Spaz like Taz with the mic and a tight choke. Dirtiest player in the game with the eye poke. 1988 Macho Man on a line of coke. Other casts are a waste, they boring. Illegitimate sons like Jason Jordan. And Rich and Runs never give him respect unless they going on air with a broken frickin' neck. So bounce like Papa Pump's pecs. Every time they get down, they bound to catch wreck. Y'all don't know nada, they the Okadas. You're the Washington Generals, they the Globetrotters. A whole lot of podcasts on the scene, but Rich and Runs running wild is the cast of your dreams. So it seems these two is too sweet. Bullet Club pulling up with schemes to delete. So retreat, we steal, we cheat. But I never lie, I swear on these beats. And these two got some styles for you. But what you gonna do when they run wild on you?
Do you want to let everyone know that you get it? Do you not want to be a Melvin? Well then listen to the Running Wild podcast. And if you don't, you know what you are.
I'm the last real man, Silas Young. And if you're any kind of man, you'll be listening to the Running Wild podcast.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Running Wild Podcast. I'm your co-host, Rich. Alongside, as always, my co-host, Runs.
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to remind you that we're brought to you in partnership with PWPonderings.com, ROHWorld.com, and Last Word on ProWrestling.com. We are also featured on the Wrestling to the Max Network. Well, what a huge week of just kind of developments and news. I don't want to say outside the ring completely, but just so much stuff going on that didn't entail, like, we're not going to be talking about every match from Monday Night Raw and SmackDown this week. We're going to be talking about some big news coming out of New Japan Power Struggle, talking about the Ric Flair special that came out this week on ESPN, the 30 for 30, and of course, some outside the ring news with WWE that might impact one of my favorite companies, Ring of Honor. So let's get into it. What did you think of Power Struggle overall?
I really enjoyed it. The undercard was really good, you know. The 6 and 10 man tags are what they are, and the chaos and Los Ingobernables is always going to be, you know, good. There's no one involved in that match that's really any bad. So that stuff is always fun. But the Young Bucks match was really good. I enjoyed that. Show and Yo against ACH and Taguchi, I really enjoyed. And then when it came down to the four main matches, which, you know, we'll discuss a little more, I thought they all were really well done, and most of them exceeded expectations.
No, I totally agree with you. I mean, I think you're going to kind of hate me for getting... It's so weird that the show that I decide that I'm finally going to watch... Right, because I don't often watch most of the New Japan shows. The one I finally decide to watch, I get super hyped about while I'm watching it because the huge news that Chris Jericho comes out and challenges Kenny Omega to a match at Wrestle Kingdom was just mind-blowing. I was just sitting there watching. I'm like, all right. I mean, this is pretty good. I'm enjoying the matches. I mean, except for I didn't really watch the huge tag matches, and I wasn't really a fan.
And Suzuki and Yano was bad.
Oof. Yeah. I mean, it's so weird to think, like, I understand why they didn't have him win, but it would have been the only thing that made that match interesting to me would have been Yano winning by some ridiculousness with the rope.
When Don Callis called him Ralph Mouth, that was the end of it for me. It was just like, wow, yeah, he really does. That's absolutely absurd. So...
It
would have been a little strange if Ralph Malfe won the belt after, you know, being identified as such. So that was fine. But yeah, like you were saying, before we get to the Jericho news, the Beretta and Omega killed it. And
yeah.
Yes, Kenny Omega is probably the best wrestler in the world. And that's, you know, debatable, undebatable, not debatable, whatever you want to say. But Beretta held his own, and he's, you know, definitely impressed me over the past few years in PWG, you know, by himself. And now to see him pushed as this heavyweight, and even his Titantron says heavyweight and all this stuff. But that guy can work, and, you know, he fit right in with Omega. This was a career-making, career-defining match and moment for him. And, you know, plenty of times I thought he was actually going to win it. And it was a really awesome match.
Yeah, no, I'm really totally buying Trent as a super heavyweight. And I think that, you know, Omega's been having great matches with everybody. But, you know, you got to give Beretta his due here, because he definitely was, you know, up to the task in this match. And I thought it was nice to see him in this role. And I'm pretty excited about what's going to happen going forward. I mean, there are a lot of wild cards now because of the fact that you have Jericho coming in. So that's going to be taking up some of Omega's time and wrestling them where a lot of, you know, we talked about it beforehand, and we thought that, or you thought that it was going to be a Bushi possibly. So now they're going to need to find somebody for a Bushi to wrestle. And there, a lot of things are being set up for Wrestle Kingdom, and I'm saying it now, I think I'm actually going to watch it live.
Yeah, as long as we're not working the next day. But the stuff with Jericho was, you know, very unsuspected, very out of nowhere. Never would you really have thought that that would happen. It was well done. And then, you know, you had Tanahashi and Ibushi just have an awesome match, an awesome moment afterwards, you know, with, you know, the whole time them kind of telling the story of Tanahashi is, he's not passing the torch to Ibushi, you know, he's got to take it, sort of a thing. So, you know, that was a fun story. It was a fun match. And then afterwards, with the reveal of Sling Blade, Jay White, who really just looks like Kenny Omega. So that the look was a little interesting with the leather jacket, leather pants, gloves, and, you know, all that kind of cleaner stuff. But it was enjoyable. I liked it, and I'm kind of looking forward to Jay White against Tanahashi.
You know, I'm looking for that too. You know, Jay White, I've been watching a lot of him in Ring of Honor, and he's had some. I really feel like his breakout match was against Ospreay, I believe, in March at the Hammerstein Ballroom.
I would say the one with Lethal, right? That's the last pay-per-view or two pay, whatever it was.
Oh, that was great. No, but I just
that to me was just like, oh, okay, this guy, he's come a long way.
Well, it's weird, but the match with Ospreay at the Global Wars, I believe, in New York. What was great about that match was just that they presented themselves as two completely different styles, and I was interested to see how it would go, and I thought he just came out looking like a million bucks, and he had a great match with Punishment Martinez, where, you know, he kind of proved himself to be really tough there. The match with Lethal was fantastic. You know, all of that said, again, I'm excited to see him with more character, I suppose, right? Other than just being the good wrestler from New Zealand.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about that a few times because of
Hiromu
and Sho and Yo, how these guys go to America, Mexico, wherever they go, and they're so vanilla and they're so bland. And then they come back to New Japan and they get these awesome characters and they show all the, like, are you really going to tell me that Hiromu did not have this charisma when he was wrestling on the Indies? Because, like, he's fantastic. And so, like, for that, you know what I'm saying? Like, where did that come from? That, yeah, New Japan gave him the character, but he had to have that charisma the whole time. So it's a little annoying to me sometimes, but it always makes it better and cooler when they come back, because then you know they're about to be something meaningful.
Well, I think,
you know,
The whole thing with that is that it's that new the young lion system from New Japan, right? Or at least from Japanese wrestling, where you get yourself over.
Vanilla.
Yeah.
They're just wearing black, yeah.
Because if you can get yourself over that way, right, then when you
add
character, so, you're that much better.
Yeah, that's a very good point. You know, I forgot about how the young lions just wear the Stone Cold gear. Yeah. So, yeah, I guess, you know, here, all right, now you have some gear. Go out and see what you get from that. But wouldn't you show some type of something? I don't know. Whatever. But speaking of Hiromu, we had Marty Scurll and Will Ospreay do exactly what they do and kill it. Again, here, the story of, you know, Death Taxes and Marty Scurll beats Will Ospreay. Was phenomenal, and they told the same story in the ring that the announcers were telling on the mics, and it flowed perfectly. I loved Marty getting the win, Kushida and Hiromu coming out. When Hiromu came out, put on the gloves and the mask.
Oh man,
it was, you know, I laughed out loud a few times. That was just, you know, that was pure gold. So this fatal four way. Hey, this fatal four-way at Wrestle Kingdom should be, you know, absolutely ridiculous.
Well, you know, the match with Marty and Ospreay, they've been telling such a, like you said, telling such a great story there. I was actually surprised by it, but then I guess looking back on their body of work and the story they're being told there, that it made a lot of sense for that to occur there. You know, and
it did, and I still was like, oh, okay, they're telling this story so that this is when Ospreay overcomes it, you know, but no, that's great.
And then what I really, it's funny, by the way, you haven't said Tamagotchi, you keep calling him Hiromu, which is...
Right, because that's his name now, because he's awesome.
But when you, as he's bringing out the helmet, all I can remember is Steve Corino talking about how he thought it was illegal that Tamagotchi was wearing the helmet in the ring when it was just his red hair. So, just fantastic stuff. No, but I'm looking forward to that match. I really think Wrestle Kingdom is going to be something that's going to be exciting. That's on the 4th?
Yes, and it is always. You know, over the last few years that I've been privileged enough to watch it, it's never let me down. But, you know, just looking ahead, Naito and Okada is I don't really know, like, that's it's pure insanity what's going to happen in that match. And I'm actually a little bit worried for Chris Jericho's life, because, like, I've seen Kenny Omega wrestle, and I don't think Chris Jericho has wrestled like that in probably 20 years. So, you know, that's going to be pretty interesting. Hey, I hope he's busting his ass to train for this.
Well, at the same time, I think it'll be a different style of match from him.
Yeah, like he's coming onto Kenny Omega's turf to prove that he's better than Kenny Omega. Maybe.
I mean, he wrestles heel, right? So he comes in kind of as the heel here, and he can wrestle heel, and he can be slow and obnoxious and stuff like that, and Kenny can hit the spots.
But how can he, like, I've seen what it takes to beat Kenny Omega. Like, I don't know that Chris Jericho has that in him. Like, you know what I'm saying? The suplexes from Okada, the crazy clotheslines, the strong style that Kenny Omega has endured, even with Beretta, you know, it is a lot more physical than Jericho's had to wrestle in a while.
True. I guess it'll be exciting to see when it goes down.
For sure. You know, definitely looking forward to it. That's a huge card that New Japan was able to play, that Jericho and Omega were able to play to get him there and, you know, in that sort of match.
It's going to be a crazy... So that's a Thursday. I'm terrible with this stuff. Will it be Friday? Like, if it's...
Yeah, it's like Friday at 3 o'clock in the morning. Wrestle Kingdom, I feel like, sometimes is at like 5 o'clock in the morning.
So that literally means we'll be at work.
Yeah.
That's going to be an unfortunate day for the students. All right. Well, moving right along. So, I mean, that was huge news from that show. Really exciting, really crazy to see that Jericho's doing this. I mean, it almost seemed like he was teasing the Cruz stuff. And really...
Well, I think we talked about that a little bit last week, huh?
Yeah. So just amazing. So moving on. So now we have some, you know, SmackDown or Raw were okay. We got some news out of them. I mean, you know, they were in the UK. So you had a tag team title change with the Bar defeating the Shield.
I mean, now let's just... I know there's a time difference, but doing both of these title changes on taped episodes really sucks, man. Because forget about Sheamus and Cesaro for a second. I would have loved to watch AJ beat Jinder live. And yes, I could have waited. I could have not read the spoilers. Blah, blah, blah. They're out there.
Wait a minute. There's nothing that you should blame yourself for, because WWE, from the WWE app, luckily I don't follow it anymore. Tweeted. But they posted it before SmackDown started on the East Coast, bro.
Yeah,
so they were spoiling it already to get ahead of the spoilers.
I just, like, come on, man. Like, you know, something like that, and it's such a huge thing. You know, the first time it's ever changed hands in the UK or outside of the US and Canada. And that's pretty sick. And, you know, it was an awesome moment. It was a great match. The crowd was insane. I think they made the right move there. Like, you know, AJ is AJ. You know, he's one of the greats, and him versus Brock is the bigger dream match. I wonder why.
I don't understand. Well, okay. First of all, I wasn't a fan of Jinder Brock to begin with. I just wasn't really looking forward to that.
Right.
So I guess I'm more looking forward to Brock, AJ. I'm not.
You know, I guess that's it, right? Like, people like you, or probably, you know, people like you, you're someone who is obviously obsessed with wrestling, right? Mm. And for you to not want to see Jinder Brock, that has to mean that people like StatWife definitely don't care about Jinder versus Brock. So maybe that was a legitimate reason as to just, like, hey, nobody really wants to see this, you know?
I completely agree with you there. I mean, that's actually some pretty good insight, because I had no interest in it. You know, normally I get kind of hyped when Brock is coming out. Not all the time. I don't really love everything, but I realize how big of a moment it is. And yeah. I don't think that in any way, shape, or form, Jinder Brock was going to be a moment. And that was my issue with it, because
yeah, I agree.
It's, you know, when you have a champion like versus champion for bragging rights type thing, it's not the, you know, I don't know. To me, it's not the most interesting thing.
No, I was someone who was excited to see it just because, you know, like you said, that it wouldn't have been a moment. It would have been a moment for Jinder, right? Like, yeah, maybe it's a little bit of a waste of Brock. But if you want to get this guy over, you want to establish him as something real, then having him in the ring with Brock is something awesome, right? It's something mainstream. But the move to put AJ in there was made. It was made for whatever reason, maybe having to do with interest or just Vince McMahon not wanting to maybe waste a Brock, you know, appearance. Who knows how many are left. So I really don't know. It's going to be a fun match because... Like I said before, AJ Styles is one of the all-time greats right now. And to see him in the ring with Brock, I'm sure he's going to, you know, have a creative strategy and try to go at him a different way. And I don't know. Or does Brock just kill him in 12 seconds? I don't know.
Yeah, there's definitely intrigue in this because of the fact that I wasn't expecting it. I do. There is a part of me, though, that I feel really bad for Jinder, man.
Right. You know, he posted today that there was nothing wrong. There was no violation, no injury, no nothing. You know, so...
Oh, he posted that? For real?
Yeah. So, I don't know You know, like, that sucks. He loses his spot against Brock, which he challenged. And then Cena gets announced on Team SmackDown without being there in the past month. So he doesn't really have anything to do on the show.
I mean, that is like... So you put the championship on Jinder, which no one expected, right? He has a good run. He's pretty good. He's a really good heel. And then they just take it off of him, you know,
on a taped SmackDown,
you know, where that's not live for everybody. And now he has nothing. I mean, that's almost like if you were the giver of a football team for an entire season and did much better than everyone thought you could, and then didn't play in the championship. Like that, you know, that's kind of the same level of disappointment, I think, that he must be feeling.
Yeah, maybe. I'm really, really unsure. I wish, you know, it would be a shame for any of that to ever happen to anyone. So, not really sure. But, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to AJ Brock. It'll be a lot of fun. If AJ just won the belt. They did it for a reason, right? Like, Brock just can't kill him in 4 seconds. That shouldn't happen. And with AJ using the phenomenal forearm recently, I don't know. Maybe he stands a shot. I don't really know, but it'll be fun.
I mean,
but with go ahead.
I'm just trying to think of who would be Brock's next challenger that isn't doing something already, but Roman's going to be facing New Day.
I don't even know. I mean, I guess he'll defend it at the Rumble, but like, he really doesn't have to defend it till WrestleMania, right? Like, you know, he'll be at the Rumble because it's the Rumble, but, you know.
Maybe James Ellsworth wins that. James Ellsworth costs him the match, yeah. Because he is...
After losing to Becky Lynch.
Yeah, he lost to Becky Lynch, and he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm going for my title. And he attacks somebody during the match. He attacks AJ... And Brock wins by DQ.
Yeah, that might happen.
And then Brock is so angry that he goes, "That's it, you and me at Royal Rumble."
Rips him in half.
And the internet goes crazy because James Ellsworth is headlining Royal Rumble.
Yeah, good luck. Oh, nice. So, watching Halloween Havoc 1994 and the cage fell apart.
Do you think... In terms of this idea with, like, the Shield versus New Day, is it just it's not a 6-man tag?
Well, I guess it could be, because with news on Monday that Jason Jordan was added to Team Raw, which, yikes, I guess Roman is not going to be on Team Raw unless Jordan gets taken out somehow, so it would make sense for it to be a 3-on-3.
I mean, I'm calling it now. You know what's going to happen. Jordan's not being taken off. Jordan is going to turn heel and help SmackDown win and betray his father and then maybe actually even say, I'm not your effing son.
That'd be great. If this was all a ruse.
The whole time. Listen to me.
That would be good.
I hope all our listeners hear this because
it's
I legitimately.
Too good for them to do.
When he said, he looked at him, he said, "You're the only man I can trust." That's the death knell.
I didn't catch that part.
You don't say that shit. Once you say that you trust someone in wrestling, they're going to fuck. You're betrayed, dumbass.
I agree. That makes sense. And they can play it up as, you know, the SmackDown thing all along and with. You know, news today that we'll get into right away. There may be some openings on SmackDown for some talent. So the big news coming out of, I don't know, an hour and a half ago or a few hours ago were that Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn got sent home from the European tour. And word later on in the day was that they got sent home because they went into a little bit of business for themselves, reportedly leaving the ring. Instead of getting a little beat down by the New Day, and so they got sent home as discipline deemed detrimental to WWE. So I don't know what that means for the future. WWE would be very dumb and naive to let these two leave and go to business with Ring of Honor and New Japan and PWG and all that stuff that they can and will do. So I really don't know.
Let's be very clear here. I could not be more excited about the possibility. Imagine if it's just some random thing like one of their friends is getting married. Is it it's not discipline? Like, it's just their friends are getting married somewhere, like, mad far, you know, and they both got sent home because they're both groomsmen in the wedding. Like, imagine if that actually comes out as the reason.
Like, there's part of me that wants to believe, like, oh, maybe this is all a work, you know? Shane McMahon sent them home, and now they're going to come out at Survivor Series and jump them or, you know, something like that. I don't know, but... until something actually happens or we get some more details, we really don't know. But it would really be a shame for these guys to leave WWE. But something like this, we've seen drastically alter the course of careers, and not for the better. So it may be in their best interest if this is going to be the case for them to get out of there if they can.
I mean, I just can't imagine, like, the idea that they would actually be sent home. Kevin, I understand that, you guess you treat everyone in the company, and if they didn't do something, I just can't believe that Sami Zayn...
Supposedly they've been difficult to work with, too, lately. Maybe they're trying to get fired, you know?
I mean, look... Both of them in Ring of Honor now is completely different. Ring of Honor is not an indie anymore, right? I mean, for all intents and purposes.
I disagree. It's an indie.
Okay, is it independent? Like, it's owned by this large corporation that actually has its grip all over the entire nation.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to go for a 10,000-seat arena. Maybe these dudes really want to be on that cruise. Like, maybe they're just like, yo, you heard about Jericho's cruise? Son, yo, we got to... Come on, Sammy, what do you think about that, eh? He's like, I kind of want to do that, eh? And then they just... Let's fuck up our jobs here, eh?
With Neville walking out and Jimmy Jacobs getting released, you know, two friends of theirs and the Young Bucks and all those guys on the outside... being close with them, I just wonder, you know, if there's not something to all of that, and just kind of, hey, it's not so bad out here, and we're making a lot of money, and it's growing and growing out here. So I really don't know.
If they get released now, they have, if it's 90 days, no complete. I mean, and that's not, when it's not, I don't know, when it's non-compete. Can they show up somewhere? Can they be teased? Or can they just, like, does it mean, like, you can't show anywhere or you can't wrestle?
They can't be on TV.
Can't be on TV. Okay. All right. So then that...
Like pay-per-view or whatever.
All right. So that takes Final Battle out of the question. But just imagine they show up at Supercard of Honor over Mania weekend?
I don't know. Like, they're probably going to make them sit out their contracts or something like that if it comes down to that, you know, and I'm hoping it doesn't, because, like I was saying to you before we went on the air, these guys are, you know, such big stars and have been such a big part of the WWE's plans over the last few years, and it would be strange, you know, and some the same way that it was with Cody Rhodes for a little bit, and still is a little, you know, he kind of feels like, not that he's bigger than the indies, but he's a bigger star, it seems like, you know, than some indie guys. But I'm getting used to it. So I don't know. It would be a strange thing to, you know, go see Kevin Owens at Evolve. You know, could you imagine that?
Okay. I mean, that would be amazing. But nothing would be more amazing. Nothing.
Right.
Than being able to wear my El Generico shirt. The first
buy a new El Generico shirt.
I'm gonna buy it while I'm wearing the older Generico shirt, but right, I'm gonna wear the first shirt I ever bought at a Ring of Honor event, because that dude was the man and had a hilarious gimmick, and the orphans need him. We need him. I mean, there would be nothing for me more exciting than El Generico returning to Ring of Honor. Like, honestly, like, in wrestling, other than, I mean, there's nothing right now that would make me more excited than a return of El Generico. And in Ring of Honor, I wouldn't be able to handle myself. I mean, he'd have to stay away from that motherfucker, Kevin Steen. But as long as he stays away from that jerk-off, everything will be fine. This will be... Please, 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 baby Jesus. Grant this wish. I just hope Christmas Day we get a tweet from Sami Zayn just saying, I'm back to... He's gone, and then just Generico comes back. Just please let her. You know what? Have non-compete? Fine. Have them wear masks and have imagine Zayn just pulls a Mr. America, and he's like, yo, that wasn't me on TV. And they're like, Sammy, that was clearly you. We know that you were in Ring of Honor. Like, it was clearly Kevin next to you in the same mask. You guys can't pretend it's not you guys. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. It's clearly... And then they just take the mask off when, like on the phone call? I don't know.
Right, but that would be real life, and they would get sued, so that's probably not a thing that can happen.
But imagine in court if they just... If they're just like, how can you prove that it's actually me? Like, I would lose my mind. I would watch C-SPAN for that. Like, just 100%.
And then you'd watch... The JOH, Jail of Honor matches that they have.
It's like when Bobby Valentine, the Mets manager, was ejected from the game, and in one of the all-time greatest moments, because the Mets don't win a lot, was he comes back to the dugout wearing a fake mustache and sunglasses. Yeah. And then, like he got in so much trouble. Like, the ump was like, are you fucking joking me? And that was one of my, you know, that made me like him so much. Because the idea that you would even, imagine you got suspended from school, and the next day you're just walking with a fake mustache and glasses, and you go to sit down? Like, what? I don't know. I'm getting myself way too excited right now. I think we need to move on to something that you don't want to talk about, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. So you know that must mean it's time for some CMLL talk. So as we all know, El Día de los Muertos is a huge Mexican celebration that takes place on November 1st. CMLL decided to stretch this out over like a whole week. So every show was themed with this stuff. I actually have a friend who has in the past mocked me for liking wrestling, is in Mexico City and went to like 3 shows in 6 days because he enjoyed it so much. So they had these matches where if you lost, the losers had to be dragged down to El Inframundo, a.k.a. the Underworld, which conveniently had an entrance off to the side of the arena. So they would lose the match, and these dudes in what can only be described as, if you've ever seen Batman Returns, I believe, no, Batman Forever, when the bad guys are in the skull, the neon skull uniforms, and they're like on these motorcycles, these neon skulled guys grab the losers and sometimes beat them and then drag them to the underworld. It's some of the most absurd stuff I've ever seen. I didn't, you know, the shows were different this week, obviously, because of that. All the guys get dressed up. All the guys come out, like, in a different, like, some sort of costume. The referees have, like, face paint on. So, like, everybody is super into it. And it's just a crazy spectacle. So it's just kind of really fun stuff this week, even if it's just, like, a little different and not part of, like, the regular show that's going on.
Well,
the look, literally, just the glazed-over comatose look in your eye when I started talking. All I had to say was CMLL, but then as it went on, you guys, you know, unfortunately, this is radio, I guess, right? But you're not getting to see just how quickly I think my co-host almost just fell asleep and vomited in his mouth a little bit as I said that. So aside from those big pieces of news, also I guess we should mention briefly, right? I mean, Alberto Del Rio is back in TNA or Impact or BFW,
or GFB. We do not at all have to discuss that.
We don't?
Terrible, horrific pay-per-view that happened.
Could this be the show
this past weekend? Whenever? No, hold on 1 second. Because I have literally watched TNA since day one.
Yes, and this is so exciting, guys.
Every single time that they tease, this is going to change the course of everything, and this is the big changeover, and every time they get new management, and there's a new GM, or Hogan and Bischoff, or whoever, every single time that they have the chance where people are excited to see them reboot things and jumpstart everything, they give you the same old dumb bullshit and ruin everything.
Yes.
I haven't really cared about TNA.
Yes.
You know, I watch it every now and then, and I found the pay-per-view online. I watched it because I wanted to see, you know, John Morrison and...
what? You mean Johnny Impact?
No, I said John Morrison. I meant it. I wanted to see him, and I wanted to see Eli Drake and EC3 and, you know, a bunch of new things that they had going on with LAX and OVE and all that stuff. And it was just the same old dumb TNA shit, you know. Alberto Del Rio bullies people and then doesn't do anything. And then he ruins the main event of their WrestleMania that, you know, just come on. Grado and Abyss was just abysmal. I don't, you know, the stuff that I was intrigued to see, it was just horrible. And, you know, it was so disappointing.
So, would it be safe to say that this might very well, in fact, be the last TNA pay-per-view that you watch? Can we say that right now on air?
No, because I watch wrestling.
God fucking damn it.
I watch random CZW shows if they're free. You know what I'm saying? Like, I watch things. It doesn't really matter what it is. It's a bad car wreck, like, or a bad relationship. I'm going to keep watching in hopes of one day they'll just make it better, but it never will. And then when the ship crashes, I'll be able to say I went down with it. But, man, we're not far off. That iceberg is coming on strong, so I don't really know.
I just want to comment, just kind of looping back one more. I just want to be clear that you can get really good seats at Arena Mexico for $2.50, okay? And also, so that means that essentially I can pay $25. When I go down there, and it's a podcast before, I cannot wait because I am going to be on camera. Also, the lack of masks around the arena makes me sad that I already ordered some, but I'm telling you, this is going to be exciting. But yeah, I was hoping this was a momentous occasion. I was hoping this was the day that you finally said that you would stop watching TNA.
Nah. I like people on the roster. So that would
Me too. There are guys, you know, that I like there.
And I like seeing them do whatever crazy, terrible things TNA is doing. But, you know, This was billed as their WrestleMania, right? Bound for Glory has always been their big show. And for them to ruin the main event, that's not something WWE or... when's the last time Ring of Honor's ruined their main event?
Doesn't happen.
Final Battle, or you know what I mean? Like, there's not a run-in and a ref bump and just terrible shenanigans that go on in those moments, and it's just really dumb.
Well,
you know what I really tuned in was because I said, hey, maybe John Morrison will win the Impact title. That would be pretty cool.
I want to see him go to just different places. Like, I'd love to see him show up
Johnny Lucha
this Friday night, Five Borough Wrestling, Johnny Five Borough,
Johnny Five,
Johnny Honor.
Yeah.
Oh, Johnny Five is... I'm not sure if you realize your reference to Short Circuit, but that would
don't
be so
know
much...
what that is.
It's amazing that you stumbled upon that, because Johnny Five is the name of the robot in a movie called Short Circuit with a robot from the 1980s who wanders around Manhattan.
See?
Yes, fantastic. So it's amazing that you mentioned that. But that's a great segue into the idea that this weekend, as you guys are listening to this, most probably, I will have just finished being down at Five Borough Wrestling over at the American Legion in Brooklyn again. So this is their second show in just about a month. I'm looking forward. I'm going to be doing the backstage post-match stuff. So I'm looking forward to that again. Just glad to have the opportunity. And you guys should definitely keep your eyes peeled for that. You got Anthony Gangone defending his title, FBW title, against David Starr. You have a tag team match combining the Man of Steel, Mike Verna, with JT Dunn. And they're going to be taking on AJ Spector and Bear, part of Force. You have one of the things that I haven't seen anywhere else is Maxwell Jacob Friedman basically looking like he's kind of a babyface down there.
As where is that? Fibro?
Fibro, yeah. He got
He kind of just turned maybe a little bit at CCW, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. There was somewhere that I read that he kind of turned.
I mean, they've kind of said it before, right? But the whole idea is you're never going to be, like, the best time to ever turn someone is when they're at the height of being a heel, right? You know, turn a person babyface. Right. I mean, you're super over as a heel, boom, babyface. And I think I'm really interested to see his work as a babyface because I'm so used to him being the heel that
he's been a heel his whole run.
Yeah. I mean, I remember one of the first interviews that we have up on our podcast. If you go over to SoundCloud or iTunes, you can check those out. But one of our very first interviews was actually with Maxwell Jacob Friedman in the very same venue that I'll be this Friday. And, you know, he kind of talked about how it was so easy for him to naturally be heel. I watched him turn heel on some kids who ran downstairs during the interview, who are apparently the owner's kids, and he just went full heel on them. It's like, get away from me, kid. And it was just so natural. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, you would assume he'll still be kind of a jerk. I mean, The Rock was a jerk when he was a face, right? He was a jerk to everybody else. It's just that the fans loved him. So it could be the same kind of thing. So definitely looking forward to that. All right, so I think that's the biggest stuff. Oh, well, the Ric Flair 30 for 30. I was super upset last night because we're taping this Wednesday. So last night, I was so excited for it. I almost didn't watch anything else in anticipation of this show. I was like giddy with excitement. I asked StatWife if she's excited about it or if she's going to watch it with me, and she said no. Which I literally just didn't know what to say. I was like, well, aren't you excited about this? Like, this is amazing. And I'm upset she didn't watch it because I know we would have had a stat wife cry.
For sure.
But it was fun. What's really nice is, obviously, I've seen a large body of Flair's work. I'm not going to pretend that I've seen every match, but I've seen a lot of Flair. Flair was an inspiration for me as a kid. When I realized I couldn't legitimately beat my friends, I had to do things the underhanded way in our, unfortunately, shoot wrestling fed. And, you know, of course, ended up losing the title, and then I bought it back from my friend who I lost it to, and then called myself the Real World Champion and went around school saying to everybody, well, if I have the title, guys, who's the champion? And it was all Flair. It was all because at 12 years old, I realized I couldn't be a face because I didn't have the ability to actually win. So I was going to go full heel and brace Flair. And he's always been somebody who, it just kind of astounds me how much I'm like into this character. What I think is interesting is how they talk about the idea that how he's really Ric Flair. Like, he was Richard Flyer, right? Up until he was like 21, and then once he became Ric Flair, he's literally Ric Flair, which, you know,
right? And you know, people you know, earmark that as like he became the character, whatever the case. But like, yeah, maybe. But once he had the money and all that kind of stuff, he was just doing that kind of stuff. And you know, it him doing it allowed him to talk about it and be about it on the show. So, you know, it was a cool thing to watch and see all the stuff and all the guys they had talking. And, you know, one of the things I mentioned to you first was, you know, Hulk Hogan is still the best worker of all time because he put over Ric Flair like nothing, and saying he had no ability and limited ability and all that kind of stuff. I'm like, come on, Hulkster. You don't believe that, and we know you don't believe that. So that was fun to watch.
I think my favorite parts are, looking back on it, the fact that some of his promos were just straight shoots. Like, I've got the $600 pair of alligator shoes. And then, like, you know, just, this is a 15th. Like, he was just getting super hyped about the real amount of money he was spending on shit. You know, there was one promo where he was apparently like, what did he say? He goes like, and right now, after the show, go across the street to the Ramada, and I'm buying everyone drinks. And he fucking did it. And then it just, you know, also there's the sad parts where they show him as a real person, and you realize that the same Ric Flair that we love and what we love about him is also what makes him kind of sad.
Not such a good husband and dad. Yeah.
You know, and he said, they asked him, like, what do you want to be remembered by? You know, and he's like, well, I wasn't a good dad or husband, so I just want to be remembered as the greatest wrestler or entertainer that ever lived. Fucking balls, bro. Like, I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good dad. Something that a lot of people are. I'm not a good husband. Something that a lot of people are. I just want to be remembered as the best ever at this. And he probably will be. But that takes a large set to just say that. So definitely, listen. If you're listening to this show, you have to watch that. That's it.
Right.
I mean, then don't listen to our. Never mind. I don't want to say that. We've got a lot of fans, and I just recently we've been our listens have been up. We're really appreciating it. People sharing out the episodes. Just please do us a favor. Go over to iTunes. Leave us a review. Subscribe. Make sure that you guys have that. We're seeing the numbers fly up every week. We're really appreciating that. Make sure that if you guys have any questions, comments, you know, we'd love the feedback. Or trivia. We missed the trivia. We'd love some summer Survivor Series trivia heading into next week's show. Please do us a favor and follow us over on Twitter at Running Wild LWOS. You can follow us on Facebook at Running Wild on Wrestling. And you can send us an email at runningwildpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow my Ring of Honor coverage everywhere at pwpodnerings.com and rorgeworld.com, as well as lastwinnerprowrestling.com. And you can follow me on Twitter at rich_Laconi, where now I can stop using numbers to say 2 because of the 280-character limit. I don't have to write terribly grammatical pitches for you guys to read my stuff, and instead can write in complete sentences with proper punctuation, which makes me feel so much better as an English teacher.
What should also make you feel so much better is I saw the Yankees tweeted out all, like, 4 digits of all their World Series wins, and they were like, oh, we've never been able to do that before, so.
You stopped with wrestling. I mean, with baseball. Right as my team started beating your team, and you said, I don't care about baseball anymore. You can't come back at me 10 years later with a goddamn baseball shit just to piss me off.
I just saw it on Twitter. I'm sorry. Fucking it had pissed. To go in hand-to-hand with your 280 characters. So.
All right, man. Well, ladies and gentlemen, with all that out of the way, I just want to remind you that you've been listening to the podcast that is not one, but 2. Sweet!
For Rich and Runs, this is the host of Ring of Honor Wrestling, Ian Riccaboni, signing off. Be sure to join them next week for another episode of the Running Wild Podcast.